and second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heaven and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which we are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. So we began this chapter, and what it says here right in the beginning is that, beloved, I now write you this, the second epistle, and in verse 2 that it says that, by way of reminder in the first verse, and that you be mindful of the words which are spoken by the prophets and the commands of us, the apostles. And so he begins this section, this last portion, saying, I've written to these two epistles, persecution from outside the church, the false teachers from the inside the church, and now that you have, that I've laid this out for you, it's always nice when they just tell you why they wrote it, that you be then reminded. And so we have reminders. We have things that we might put on our now phones, and it helps. I have lots of reminders on my phone, and when you put it on vibrate and don't look at it, flip it upside down, it doesn't do you much good. But if you put reminders around, sticky notes, or different ways to be reminded of things, that then you have this idea that, oh, I'll take care of it. I will be busy doing one thing, and somehow something will catch my attention. It's always good if you set a reminder to take cookies, and you want to not burn them. You want to set a reminder. I don't want to have burnt chocolate chip cookies. I want nice, soft, crispy on the outside, soft and gooey on the inside. You'll set a timer. You'll set something to remind yourself of these things. So that if he says that I want to, I'm writing to you this thing because it's a reminder, that we then then can be looking forward as we then look at some things and some points that he's going to make, that we say, okay, this is a reminder for you. I put a little sticky note there right in verse 1 to say, here's my reminder to you. And then, so what's the reminder all about? The reminder here is that, in verse 3, it will say that knowing this first, knowing this first. And so he says, okay, there's this one thing, you know, we got this going on here. Says, I want you to know this first thing, that the scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. And what are they saying? It says, where is the promise of his coming? I want you to know this first, that there are false teachers, there are these scoffers, and they're going to sort of challenge you with, where's the promise of his coming? He said he was coming, and so where is he? And so as we then continue on, for since the fathers fell asleep, we continue, things just continue on. As we look that then in verse 8, it says, beloved, do not forget this one thing. He's given us a reminder. He's laying things out. He's saying, okay, here's the first thing. They're scoffers. They're people who are going to challenge what you believe. They're people going to come in and say, well, what are you talking about? God made all these promises. None of them are coming true. Now, beloved, do not forget this one thing. We have little team meetings in our office. It's not too many people, but if you're in a big organization, I'm always flabbergasted. Enoch and I will sometimes have a dinner together, and if you work for something large like the FAA, I don't know how he ever gets anything done. They just have meetings all the time. Oh, I had a meeting today. I had a couple meetings today. I had one in the morning, one in the mid-morning, one in the late morning. Then you have one in the early afternoon, mid-afternoon, and then you got to stay late because somehow they're on the West Coast. So he's in meetings all the time. I don't know how he gets anything done. But we try to have a meeting every so often to just be able to connect, okay, calibrate, make sure everybody's on the same page, communicate, and we want to celebrate every now and then. Not very good at that, but we should try to do that more often. You like that? Mike's taking notes on that. Remember those little C's that I put in there. We came across this in one of these little videos we were watching, trying to do those various four things there. And I was sort of go into the next phase here, but what got me thinking even more is a book that I was reading. It says, don't forget this one thing. And this guy wrote a book, The One Thing. And so Gary Keller writes this book, and so we're so busy trying to remember everything that when you really boil it down, and when he asked different people different things, it said in the research it comes down to, it says, you know, really, we got a lot of stuff going on. And so the power of remembering, as in verse 8, says, do not forget this one thing. Okay, so why can we just have to remember this one thing, and what is that going to get us? And so what he did is that he actually, in Norway, apparently it's a big deal. Dominoes is a big deal in Norway. So they have, somebody figured this out. This little domino right down here, if we were to give that a measurement of 2 inches, and we were to say that what will happen for our mathematicians, that if it is 50% bigger, the next one was 50% bigger, the one before can knock over one that is 50% bigger than the one right before. So they set up these dominoes all over the place, and they did some world record thing, and they said it was an incredible amount of energy that was produced if all these dominoes fell over, to say, like, they could light up the city. It was whatever. It's like incredible. The energy that is produced of just domino flipping over, if you could somehow capture that. I'm sure James could probably figure out a way to capture that energy. But if you could, say that it's amazing. Now let's look at it from a different perspective. Say that they figured out, says, you know, if you have this one domino, 2-inch domino, and then you get one 50% bigger, that 2-inch domino can knock over the one that's 3-inch. Oh, boom, knock it right over. And then that can knock over one 50% bigger than it, and 50% bigger than it, 50% bigger than it. And so that if you were to say, how many dominoes would you get before you get somebody just because they did Peyton Manning, and you would say that how many dominoes would you be to have a domino that was as big as him? How many dominoes would you have if you needed one as big as him? Like 10. 10 dominoes, you've got one domino that's as big as Peyton Manning. If you remember one thing and the power of that one thing, what that power of this ability to remember the one thing. And it just struck me is that we sometimes try to have so much going on, and he boils us down and says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing. I'm sending you a reminder. Here's my sticky note. You can't write a thesis on a sticky note. You're reminded of one thing. And that one thing and what that can do and start to remind you of things that are even more bigger than that one thing you're remembering, and how that thing can then let you think of things that are even bigger than that, simply can do great things. If you were to, and I'm going to go back and forth here, just to continue this thought because it fits better, is that if just for the sake of, because it was really amazing, that this one domino here, by the 18th, it's just the, as tall as the Leaning Tower of Pisa. By 25th domino, is the size of the Eiffel Tower. The 31st domino is the size of Mount Everest. And the 37th domino is almost to the moon. The power of the one thing you're remembering and what that can do to spur you to think of something else. It doesn't say, I have a whole list of things for you to remember. Beloved, do not forget this one thing. And it has struck me with getting to the basics, getting to the things that say, we have to remember sometimes something very simple that gives us the ability to remember something a little bit bigger than that, which gives us the ability to remember something even bigger than that. This video that we watched, it was a guy, an editor of Success Magazine, and he interviewed, this guy who's 100 years old. He met his grandson, and he found out that, oh, my grandfather is a very successful man. He's 100 years old. He went to interview this man, and he drives up to what he just thought is, oh, my goodness gracious, this guy lives very well. The gates in front of his house, not the gated community. He is the gated community. He drives up to this house. He goes into his study, and he sits down, and he interviews this man, and he says, I would like to do an interview. And the guy says, I'm not really interested. He's an extremely successful man, and came to the United States from what is now Ukraine with nothing, and is now extremely successful, well-known, and well-beloved by his friends and family. And he says, that's great success. I should do an interview with this guy. The guy wasn't interested in being interviewed for the magazine, but said that, well, for your family, maybe I can pass on some wisdom to your family. Okay. And so he interviews the guy, and he comes in, he says, but write down all the secrets of your success, because I would like to document that so that you can pass that on to your kids, and so that they will then have this memorial of you and your success, because you are wealthy, you are wise, and you are well-beloved. So he comes in, older gentleman, 100-year-old man, comes in, and he sits down, and these nice chairs, and beautiful library. You can tell this guy's well-read. And he says he's expecting a stack full of all of his thoughts. And he's looking around going, there's nothing here. And he says, well, have you had a chance to put down your thoughts on what has made you successful? He said, oh, yeah. And he says, okay, looking around, seeing nothing. And he says, what are your thoughts? And he says, he reaches into his breast pocket and he pulls out one piece of paper. And then that one piece of paper is not even full. And it has, he says, roughly about two-thirds full. And so he's thinking, well, this could be a short interview, but in a sense, what's the deal? And so he starts reading it. And in this interview, he said that they ultimately never got over anything past the first line that he wrote on this piece of paper. And he says most young people will look at this and dismiss it because they were looking for the big thing. I need 20,000 things to do to be successful. But you're really looking for the one thing. He said that that very few things matter. And that's ultimately sort of the premise of where he gave this little conversation. And so you're boiling it down to, beloved, do not forget this one thing. Because if you can remember this, the power of that one thing over the things that will help you to remember beyond that, grow and grow and grow, and it's a geometrical progression. Is that correct? This is a geometrical progression, and so that it's just powerful what this one little domino will do, and it doesn't take too many to increase geometrically. And so he's telling you that this one thing, the Lord, with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Pretty profound. But it's like, what does that get you? And you think, wow, don't forget this one thing. With the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. If we can kind of conceptualize that, say that, wow, put it in perspective, that suddenly things, how much do they matter in the scheme of, I'm really busy tomorrow. One day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. Maybe put things in perspective of what eternity is more important, more larger, more significant than what we might be so focused on in this one little minute period of time. Don't forget this one thing. And then it goes on, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, because the scoffers, remember about these guys, the scoffers said, where's the promise of his coming? He's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but as long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We had in our house, we had some work done. We had these doors replaced, and I was talking to the contractor, and a nice Christian man, and we got to talking is that if we got what we deserve, and so sometimes we feel like, well, you know, I deserve this or I deserve that. And it was refreshing as we sort of just were touching, you never know how somebody's, you know, where they're coming from and different things. And it was just striking of, if we got what we deserve, we probably all would be going to hell. Because that's what we deserve. That is what we deserve. But we don't get what we deserve. We get something better. If we remember this one thing. And in this case, it's that the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. There's the thinking of it. God is patient. God is long-suffering. And he's not willing that any should perish. So that we didn't get what we deserve because of his long-suffering. And wherever we were in life, whether it was as a child or whether as an adult, that we didn't get what we deserve because of that long-suffering. And he desired that none should perish. So sometimes we just have to be not to forget this one thing. We need to be mindful. We need to be mindful, as he says in verse 2, that you will be mindful of the words. So we remembered that sometimes we have to remember certain little things, which help us to remember other bigger things, and those things help us to remember even bigger things. But that if we got what we deserve, we wouldn't be having eternity with the Lord in heaven. That because he is long-suffering. And so we take the little thing, and we remember, and remember, and remember, and it takes us to that God is not slack, and that he desires all should come to repentance. With all the natural disasters that are taking place in our country, I was doing a little bit of look, just sort of trying to get some information, and we'd certainly remember the hurricanes in Houston, hurricanes in Florida, hurricanes in Puerto Rico. And so just before that, because I'm not necessarily saying I do or don't have a bunker in the backyard, in the woods, secretly, or anything of that nature, in case something happens with a fresh water supply and plenty of deer that people don't seem to want to shoot for some reason. But you say that, well, you'd like to be prepared about things. You'd like to, you know, get your, not necessarily that little pack of food that tastes disgusting because I've tried them, MREs and different things like that, and having eaten numerous one of those when I was doing some training in the Navy, and they decided the dentist needed to go out and do the Army thing for some reason, and repel and do different things. So you've had a little experience eating that food and just saying, wow, hope everything, nothing happens. Because that food is pretty not so desirable, but you'd like to say, well, I thought about we should get a generator. And we live a little bit farther off the path there, and so when the lights go out, it's pretty dark. And by pretty dark, I mean it's really dark out there. And you think, well, we have things lined up already to some degree, but I've been looking and doing some research and thinking, well, how do you set this up and different things like that. I said, well, I said, before all these hurricanes, that you say, well, I'd like to get a generator. And then I've been thinking, well, we have lots of trees, and so I'm still impressed that Mike came over and there's a tree that was better for woodworking than burning. And so I've been thinking, we got lots of trees. And so I said, well, I could chop down a lot. A lot of stuff has already fallen down. We have a fireplace. We will be prepared. If something unfortunate happens and we need to be in the house and caught for different reasons, that we say, wow, we should have a generator. We have plenty of wood that we could burn, and we'll be set. Because isn't that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night? No one says, hey, you know what, next week we're going to have a power outage. And it's going to be for 3.5 days. It'll come back on, and everything will be fine. Don't open your refrigerator, you'll be fine. And so everything's fine. Nobody schedules those. Nobody says, hey, next year, here comes a hurricane. Oddly enough, is that we had gone through a surprising drought of hurricanes to hit the United States. It was an unusual long period of time that a major hurricane had hit the United States. Not in Houston, they don't care. They don't care that, oh, well, we were due. We were overdue. We were way overdue. They don't care because they got hit and it just rained and rained and rained. Florida didn't care, and certainly Puerto Rico. In listening to some radio, it struck me because it's pretty devastating down there. And I was listening to a program even this afternoon on the way home, and I mean, they've got nothing. I mean, whatever Hurricane Maria came, it just wiped a lot of stuff out, hospitals, people, and it's pretty bad down there. But in listening to that, a gentleman said that it was so devastating. He says, now everyone is going to get a generator. No one wants to do this without a generator. Well, did you not know that hurricanes come through the Caribbean? All I could think of is, this is not new. This was not like a shock that hurricanes do, in fact, come through the Caribbean on a frequent basis. And that no one would want to do this again without being prepared. I would have thought that ahead of time, but here it comes, and we tend to wait until it's too late. And it says right here, but the day of the Lord, which is, we've said the flood came, and then it talked about fire, the judgment of fire. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You have to be prepared. You have to be prepared, because you don't know when it's coming. When we discussed in Sunday the 10 virgins, and it talked about in Sunday school, for adult Sunday school, and the 5 that were prepared with oils for their lamp, and 5 were not prepared with oil in their lamp. Have the generator, they didn't have the firewood stacked up, they didn't have a little food source and such like that for the, oh, well, I wasn't preparing for that natural disaster that I wasn't sure of. No one told me, nobody gave me a heads up that something was coming. And so here's what Peter says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. I'm telling you, you're not going to know when it's coming. You're to be prepared. And so as we thought that he said we should be mindful, we remember one sometimes little thing which helps us remember something bigger yet, and something bigger yet. That the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and we don't know when it's coming. We better be prepared, because it comes as a thief in the night. I was interested to and put this up here just because it is pretty interesting, and I thought, well, something in Maryland that we're a little bit not so familiar with. North Korea, that's not the point, South Korea, so there's Japan, and the little red circle is where an earthquake occurred. Now, there's a couple plates, it's the Filipino plate, and the different plates, and different things happening there, just to draw them out, but that was a hurricane, that was an earthquake that happened, and that was September 20th. September 20th, there was an earthquake. I don't remember hearing anything about it. I was just looking for some information, and it struck me. So we have quakes, USGS, and the United States Geological Survey, thing, government, so we know it's obviously true. And so then we go down here and say, oh, recent earthquakes. That was at 12:20 on September 20th. And then we say, you know, something like that. So then I was like, well, wait a second. magnitude 5.9, September 26th. Magnitude 4.6, September 24th. 4.1, September 24th. 4.6, September 24th. There's actually a couple more if you keep you slide that over. That's recent earthquakes around Japan. That is pretty strange. So the question would be, and you probably will not even be wrong if I were to throw out for a gentleman just for the sake of curiosity, how many earthquakes does Japan have every year? Gentlemen, throw a number out. They have slightly less than 200 every month. So it's right, 15 to 2,000. So I'm doing math in the head, but it's easier to say 150 or something. Holy smokes! So do you think they're prepared for an earthquake? Do you think they're shocked over that, wow, we have an earthquake here? A lot of them they don't feel. Some of them do go to the level of, you start getting to that, then you kind of feel that. But they would actually say that tremors, or whatever they kind of call that, is that every 5 minutes there's something going on, and that they say roughly about 2,000 quakes that can be felt by people every year, and that and some are, you know, not life-threatening, and some are very, very life-threatening over the many years. And over a 250-year period of time that they've been sort of keeping track of this, that, and the other, it is just some incredible number of earthquakes. In Maryland, on the other hand, our good little state there, we went to Maryland Geological Survey and said, wow, how many earthquakes have we had in 250 years? 1783, I think that 1786, I think they started to say, yes, there was one. We had one. And so if you could see that roughly, you'll get up to a little over 60 in 250 years. The largest earthquake we had was out in Hancock, Maryland, so that's going to be number 22 and 23. Occurred roughly a little bit, a couple days from each other, roughly very close to each other, not only in proximity, but in time. And out in Hancock, and that was 3.1 on the Richter scale. That thing's crazy. Now, we had one down in 2011 down in Virginia. We felt it, but that was Virginia, so we'll let them keep it. But in Maryland, it's... I don't think we go home and wonder, wow, should I put that vase and Mrs. Chakarji made up on the mantle, or should I put it in the pillow when I leave today, when I go home tonight, when I sleep at night? I don't want it to break, because we could have an earthquake. I mean, it's sort of there. Keep in mind the magnitude of these is that the one we had back in 1978, I think it was. That is the one we had in Maryland. The one they had in 2011 in Japan was the big circle. The logarithmic scale, not a geometric progression, a logarithmic, so these are 3 to 4 is 10 times more. 10 times? 10 times more. And so you do that up there and say, wow, that is going to shake things up. Do you think that they, by chance, prepared in Japan for a lot more activity and movement than we are in Maryland? And I would think absolutely they are. They have a frequency. They're sort of thinking through, when I wake up in the morning, whether I feel it or not, something is moving. Something is insecure. In the book of Ruth, it's interesting that in reading through this thing, that I'll read this to you from Ruth, and she was very determined, and this is what it says in verse 15, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you, to her mother-in-law. They've lost her father-in-law, she's lost her brother-in-law, she's lost her husband. Entreat me not to leave you, or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. She wasn't from them, she wasn't an Israelite, but she says, I will go with my mother-in-law wherever you go. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do with me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. The mother-in-law was saying, you really ought to stay here, find another husband. And she said, when she said this, she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. She was very determined. She was very steady. She was very steadfast in her resolve to stay with her mother-in-law. If you're on shaky ground, now in Japan, you're used to shaky ground. And in Maryland, we're not used to shaky ground. If someone comes from Japan and moves to Maryland, do they sit there thinking, any day now, we're going to have an earthquake? Just because they moved here doesn't mean that Japan shaking will be felt here. And so sometimes your circumstances changes, that there are shaky times if you happen to be in Japan. I think, Craig, you might be the only person who has visited Japan. They say that, and maybe you felt some, maybe you did, but if you're in Japan, it said that's a way of life. But if you're in Maryland, that's not necessarily a way of life. There are times when through life you have shaky times. You have times that are not so shaky. Sometimes you're in Maryland, sometimes you're in Japan. And when she saw her resolve, she stopped speaking to her. She was steadfast. She was steady. Whatever the circumstances, they were shaky. They had no idea what they were coming up. They had lost everything. And so that they are entreated to be steadfast at the end of this book. We are saying that, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. I just told you that the end is coming. I told you the day of the Lord is coming like a thief in the night. And therefore, he says, looking forward to these things. And so then he says, consider the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. Remember the teachings of Paul. And then he says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. Don't fall from your steadfastness. Be steadfast. Be steady and be resolved in your salvation, that you wouldn't be led away by the error of these false teachers, the error of the wicked. We're to be steady. We're to be mindful, be prepared, and be steadfast. In Lamentations, it'll say this, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. We'll close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we could look into your word. We thank you that, Father, that you have these apostles that have written these things down. We have these prophets that have written things of old. And that, Father, you have this word for us to understand, to learn more from you. And Father, we pray for that you would open this, our mind and eyes, to these things which you have for us. We thank you for the teachings of Peter, and that, Father, he reminds us of things. He reminds us that we have to remember sometimes very little things which help us to have bigger things and have bigger things. And that, Father, that we are to be prepared. Father, you can come at any time. We should also be prepared to have an answer. We should also be prepared, Father, to have an answer certainly for those that would seek to know you. Father, that we should be prepared. And that also, Father, we should be steadfast. We should be steadfast in those teachings which you have for us, steadfast in the salvation that we have, that those who will come against us and scoff against your word and mislead us in many ways, be steadfast to the truth that we have in your word, in your Son's name.